I love the idea of doing the key book and the, you know, the not what but how book. And what I realized last night was we're a really easy group to facilitate. And, you know, listening to what was going on yesterday, it's like we understand process, so it'd be really great to do that same type of a thing and act like you're brand new to this whole thing, you know, like what do you mean it's the process? You know,
yeah,
questions like that.
That's process.
Yeah. That'd be great to have some practice like that.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like we didn't get through the list that you had made yesterday, and it, those seemed really good too.
So what we might do is combine those, because I did hope that we could get through difficult questions and people. So perhaps we could plant some of those in the various or we could try people just drawing upon hideous situations they have either, you know, witnessed or attempted to facilitate or that sort of thing. And then if anybody doesn't have one or two of those come to mind, we could supply some of them from our handy file. What do you think? Jen?
Yeah, it seems great. And so are you saying that we would do the play out some of the difficult ones as a whole group and then go back into what we were doing last
night? No, I was actually thinking, that's interesting, because if the difficult ones are ones that I'm kind of encouraging you to have a pat answer for, that it might not be as helpful. So, okay, and then have people portray those.
Yeah, because they will assume both sides. They will assume the portrayal of that difficult thing, and then also the kind of some version of the pat answer to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Does that sound good? Does that sound helpful? Because our goal, of course, is to have people leave here feeling ready and prepared and excited and, you know, all of those kinds of things. So we want to be sure to cover it all.
I just wanted to comment. I just felt so grateful last night for the idea that you came up with. And just, I feel like even just with the sitting group I facilitate, I've been sort of just going back and forth about, okay, what curriculum ideas are going to be for Best for All, but then there's communicating with the monastery, it's going to be a lot of work, just all this back and forth.
Yeah, you hit the magic word there, work.
Yeah,
it's work for the people out there trying to do it. It's work for people here trying to manage all of it. So if we can get it really simple.
Yeah, like the best solution is always the simplest one that's right in front of you. And it was perfect.
Good. Yeah, because, you know, on occasion we've done the daily recollection around the feast, but that's high level.
If we have a couple of difficult interactions to throw into the hopper, so we just throw them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to start?
We've done a few sessions on projection, and that's been really helpful to me, you know, to see. I realize, like, as I look around, everything I'm projecting all the time, and I can't stop. I can't figure out how to not project. I feel like I'm not doing well. I just, you know, I've been looking at it for a while, but I'm still, I really am projecting all the time.
That at which the realization that you're reflecting, that you're projecting all the time is a really important one, because it's true.
Yeah.
You are. We are. We do. It's what humans do. There's no way around it. We project. And so, for me, the easiest thing is, and the most helpful thing in terms of awareness practice, is just to get that and to recognize that everything in my world is a projection. Everything that I'm experiencing, I'm projecting, and follow all of those things back and use them to find out more about this person.
So does it ever get to a point where you can see what's true? You can actually see things as they are?
Well, you are seeing things as they are, because they are as you see them. What I think you're asking is there an objective reality?
Right.
And the answer is no. Which, thank God, science has finally confirmed. Mm-hmm. There is no objective reality. Reality is what each of us creates. Which is very helpful,
yes.
Because we each then get a lot of information about ourselves all the time. And our work is not to take that personally, not to use it to judge ourselves, but just to realize here's information about how this person was programmed.
So I don't have to try not to project.
It really isn't a good use of your time. Now, if you ever want to go down this road, because everything that you would do to try not to project is still just another projection.
So you're saying that there's no objective reality. So everything that I'm seeing is just my experience of what I'm seeing, and this is all that there is. So everything that I can't see then doesn't really exist. So, like, are you saying that, like,
This is the one. This is the moment that you will dread all your life at the facility.
And I had this moment. So you're saying that India doesn't exist because I can't see it? Do you believe India exists right now?
Well, of course. Part of my job description is not to believe anything. So what of India actually exists for me, the combination, the culmination of everything that I think I know about India. Is there a different India for you?
Yes.
Is there a different India for each of the people living in India?
Yes.
Is there a different India for everyone who, in the world, who has whatever relationship with India?
Yes. Well, so then how do we ever do anything about India if we all have a different experience of India, or often?
Well, let me ask you this. What would you like to do about India?
Well, I don't really want to do anything. I'm just trying to understand, see what you, you're trying to teach us. I'm just trying to understand.
Well, what I'm encouraging you to look at is how everything in your experience is your experience. So if you and I are eating dinner together, you're tasting your food and I'm tasting mine. So you really like the cilantro salad while I despise it. Okay? In both cases, it's cilantro. But our experience of it is very different.
And how is this going to help me? What does this do?
What it does is help you to realize what is central to everything in your life. What is not central to your life is what is out there. What other people are doing, what other people are thinking, what people who don't think it's important to tell people who buy stuff from them that they're going to have to find it. Pieces of plastic. You see, though that is not, it's what happens in here that makes the difference. This is the only thing we can ever actually affect. This is where heaven is. This is where hell is. It'd be dangerous to say that to your crew. I don't know. So are you saying that you don't really believe there's a heaven?
Impossible!
You might not want to try that.
Well, that's really helpful. I see where I found myself going, yes, you didn't exist. And I thought, and then I was like, how did I get here?
Yeah. Never, this is the good point. Never let the focus turn to you. Mm-hmm. Always be putting it back to the other person. Mm-hmm. Because then you're modeling, actually, mm-hmm. what you're talking about. Whatever you've got going on doesn't have any effect on me. The only thing that has any effect on me is what goes on here. It's also, one second and then I'll ask, around here we talk about courting. And what that means, it's a word we use for this experience, where you can feel that someone mm-hmm. is reaching out energetically and grabbing you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, in close relationships, the closer the relationship, generally speaking, the more force there are. So if people have been in relationship, families, in relationship for a long period of time, the cords are just immediate and automatic. So you know, the cords that children have with their parents, that's what the first part of personal growth is breaking those cords. Okay, unhooking from those cords. Because it's the source of guilt. Okay, because you know if you say something, somebody's going to feel bad. That's a cord. Okay, and when you're facilitating, people will try to cord you. And they'll try to cord you with whatever their deal is. So if they're used to making their way in the world by getting sympathy, then they'll try to cord you in that way so that you'll feel sympathetic toward them. If they make their way through being smarter than anybody else, they'll try to cord you that way. I would suggest that person was what we talk about as a sixth chakra person. Lives in their head and wants to get you into your head, yeah. and that's where the cord went.
Yeah.
And that's what you were responding to. And suddenly it's like, and they actually... Yeah. So it took me a long time, actually, so I'll give this. This is one of the tricks of the trade. I forgot that I had a back. And so I have always been really good at not receiving cords in this direction, mm-hmm. but it took me a while to realize that chakras have access from the back as well. Mm-hmm. You can energetically not be receptive. And the best way, honest to God, the best way not to be receptive is through reflecting. Because when you're reflecting, it's this. Okay? When you start engaging, mm-hmm. you're inviting in. Mm-hmm. And if you lose focus, then you are definitely cordable. I mean, you will be anyway. You just have to be, you know, kind of careful of it. And, you know, around here, when you leave group at night, you know that the bells ring. Mm-hmm. You hear those bells ringing? Mm-hmm. And what's happening with that is energetically clearing the... So it's like lighting incense or that sort of thing that just clears the energy out of the room, because the energy of all of this stuff that we do can stay in the room if we're not careful. That's why something like a mortuary is creepy. It's not actually because dead people are there. It's because of the energy that people bring to it around death. Mm-hmm. So there's the sadness, the grief, the anger, and it just becomes a really bad energy place. And they would do well, actually, to light some incense and go around and ring some bells every night to just move that energy along. And now this is pretty California woo-woo, but if you think about it, you know the experiences that I'm talking about. You know when you walk into a room full of people, for instance, and it's bad energy. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody was talking about that, I think it was Penny was talking about being in a meeting recently where people, you know, it's about the economy and gloom and doom, and it's just, you know, you want to get out of the room and take a shower because the energy is just so creepy. And clinging, and you'll run into people who are creepy and clinging, and they'll want to attach their energy to you, you know. And so if you watch Sadie, she'll go, you might even try that. There's an old Buddhist thing that that you may know about, and that is where you loosely close your left hand. The left side of the body receives and is the future. The right side of the body is the past and letting go. Okay? So when you're around that kind of bad energy, just loosely close your hand. And it does two things. One, it does close down the energy just automatically coming into your body. And two, it's a reminder that you want to stay present and you don't want to take this on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting that you should say that, because right after that exchange with that woman, I did this. I was like, okay, let me get on my head. And it's like...
Yeah, you're resetting your energy system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're facilitating, if you get into a situation like that, I don't need to do that with y'all. and you get into that kind of, like you're in a workshop situation, you can take a break. And, you know, I never interact with people during a break at a workshop. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it. I mean, if it's like, you know, you guys, yeah. But if I'm somewhere doing a day-long workshop, I make it clear. This is a break. Leave me alone. This is lunch. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And it's because there are the energy vampires. You know, it's not the people that you want to interact with. It's the energy vampires who wait, and then they want to glom onto you. So, yeah, Dave.
That's kind of along those lines. That, you know, what you're modeling in here is really high level. You know, to be able to engage with somebody like that, you have to be really clear who's who.
Yes.
And, you know, it occurs to me, you know, for folks who might not have that, you know, that same confidence. I mean, there are some other tricks. Like, for example, you know, a lot of times, like, projection will come up in context of an exercise on projection, you know. And then, if it does, then you can just take them back to the exercise.
Yes.
And that takes them to their experience, and, you know, it takes you out of the world having, like, start answering their questions, because if you know who's who, that, like you were doing, I mean, you can do that in a way that really, it really clarifies everything. If you get confused about it, then that's where all that kind of condition connecting starts happening and losing focus. And
one thing about that, early on we talked about never getting hit twice with the same situation. Mm-hmm. So don't go in there unclear about projection. Make that the focus of your practice until you know exactly what's going on all the time. Which would be a huge benefit, personally, and then a huge benefit to your facilitation.
And yeah, and a couple other things I thought of. You know, if somebody brings up some line projection, especially in that aggressive kind of way that Rebecca was just modeling out of context, then you actually don't have to address projection necessarily. You could address the process that's going on right there. Mm-hmm. You know, by reflecting, for example, or in some way. You know, so. You know, getting, as a facilitator, getting me out of that role that's going to be really, you know, kind of dicey, and having the attention go back on them so they're looking at their process rather than looking at the facilitator, if they're willing.
Yeah, and doing that in a way that doesn't make you look like
bad guy.
Yeah, or that you're withholding information, or that you're being slippery, or you don't really know what you're talking about.
And then another one is if you've got a room full of people who have some experience with practice, like we were saying earlier, you can offer to them. Mm-hmm. You can say, oh, that's a really interesting question. What other people see about projection? They can all make all the same points you were just making, mm-hmm. but it takes you out of the role of needing to be the one who makes it, and then it keeps you in the role of facilitator,
uh-huh.
which really helps you be present. And so you could just facilitate a conversation that addresses the person's question. You've taken away in a sense of their ability to act out whatever they're acting out, and then, you know, all the information gets provided there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good tips. Yeah, Melinda.
I don't remember how you said it, but I'm going to transcribe it and put it on the wall. Some things about never let the attention come to you, but keep reflecting it back. And what it reminded me of is I talked about the fear of writing in front of people that I carried for a long time. And one of the techniques that assisted me regularly was, you know, I'm at the bank and I'm writing a check. I ask the teller a question. So I push the attention, I move the focus.
Oh, that's very
good. To the other person, which I think is exactly what you're saying, and it took, mm-hmm. it took care of the fear mm-hmm. and helped me focus.
Well, it's really perfect because they then turn to themselves
yes.
to try to answer the question, mm-hmm. which we all know. So their attention is inward on them. You don't actually have to be listening because you don't really care what the answer is. So they're occupied, and you can go ahead and do what you're doing. That's very good.
Yeah, it really dissipates the fear. Yeah, it really dissipates the fear and makes it possible to continue functioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Still.
I don't know if it's just because I'm a fearful one or what, but every time even out in the world, I know this, I watch this, every time somebody starts asking me questions, you know, about anything in my life, you know, personal, I immediately can table and ask them a question. It's just so, seems so uncomfortable for me in a way to start talking about me. Like that.
Oh, well, it is.
Yeah.
It's one of those incredibly creepy places.
Yeah, even when I know them. You know what I mean? Even when...
Well, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's creepy in society.
Yeah.
It's just that it's what people are used to.
Yeah.
It's what the norm is. So how many people like to be asked, so what do you do for a living? Is that great? How many of you like being in a circle of people? Let's all go around and say our names and where we're from and what we do. It's creepy.
They want to know your story.
Well, yeah, or it has something to do with what, you know, Melinda is saying. It's just a way to kind of manage situations. It's a way to, it's unpleasant. Creepy is the best word I can come up with.
And then when I was starting out to put my hands up for it, I think you told us, you might be considered that interaction, and I use this a lot, is how would knowing that help your tractor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's a personal, well, of course, do you believe India is there, you know? I mean, I cannot pass up an opportunity to let people know that I'm focused on believing nothing.
Right.
Mostly because I have a mean streak, and it just freaks people out. But it's also such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean you believe nothing? Well, why would you want to believe something instead of being present?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of didn't get Melinda's point. Can you say more about what, I don't know if I missed a word or two, but can you...
About what
stuff? What was
the situation? Oh, well, there she is in a situation that is bringing up all this, whatever it is. In a way, it's what I was just describing as the creepy thing. It's just such a point of mastery. So what she did is ask so I'm going to write a check. The teller's not doing anything. So the teller, what do we do? Get off there. Okay, which brings up the self-consciousness. So give the teller something to do.
Oh, I see.
And then the teller is occupied doing whatever. Melinda writes the check.
Basically, just diverted their attention.
Right. Look over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Trees.
Well, what I was thinking of is even the wanting, everyone wanting to know your story, because I had a creepy thing happen like that yesterday, and it just threw me off, like an interaction with a parent, and I was like, why would you even ask that, you know, and then I answered automatically, just felt like I needed to go take a shower, even though it was pretty benign, but still, it was like, oh, so I got to that place of, it's like reality shows, Like so many, why are people so fascinated with quote unquote reality shows? Because they're not living in their own reality. And so a big thing that came up yesterday, because I just started a group yesterday, was the I statement. So we have a list of agreements of we're going to say I. And okay, they're teenagers, they really, they always say you. Well, you know, you do this, you do that, and I'll just go I.
Well, teenagers and journalists.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there you are in a foxhole. And the enemy is all around you. And you know, you, and I'm going, no, I don't. You did that. I didn't. You lost sight of which one of us you are.
So they really struggled with it. And I know that'll be something for the whole time that they'll really struggle with. I mean, even adults, when I use I see, like, what? What do you talk I? So what?
Partly, so that's an interesting.
Oh, it is.
Very.
Everything is you. So what came up from when the interaction with Rebecca was that the one student was, well, isn't that selfish? If I just keep saying I. That's selfish. And I loved it.
Uh-huh.
And for her, it was so, she could not say I. Mm-hmm. That's just selfish. And I don't want to be a selfish person.
Uh-huh. I'll put it up on you.
Right. But, yeah, so I've had that come up a lot. And I think it's the age group of, there's that sort of, well, you know, you is... It's just with all of us. We're all connected. We're all just, you know. And then,
yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe that's where it's coming from.
And I was projecting that it's just hard. It's hard to be in that place of I and own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to own that. That is, I'm having this experience. Because then what else could it be that's not selfish? And they had sort of no.
That's really interesting. Does anybody else have a projection? I mean, when you listen to somebody being interviewed, and that is the way the interview goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you're in a place like Afghanistan, what you realize is, what is behind that? Is it a way of making us all feel like we're there together? Not taking responsibility?
I look at this because it's a huge pet peeve for me. And I don't know if it's because the journalists started doing it and therefore everybody's, you know, getting it from the journalists, but everybody's doing this all the time. You listen to this and, you know, they talk about... And what I always project is that, essentially what you said, that it's too hard to own it, that it's too hard for people to, especially in this creepy society, for people to say I blah 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 because it's too revealing, makes them too vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
That's my projection.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it may be unintentional, it may be just unintentionally copying what's out there already. The journalists are saying it, everybody who's interviewed saying it, so that's how people tend to, they adopt that, but what makes it easy to like seamlessly adopt it is that it fits in with it being hard to, that it feels like a vulnerable place to say I, especially to the public. Mm-hmm. But again, it seems to be at a more and more lower level personal that it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never came back to you.
Not yet.
No, I am.
Okay.
No, can't talk. I'm conditioning is just killing me.
The whole thing, or was something?
Well, you know, it's just not letting me show up. And then I'm getting so beaten up for that. And last night, not that I believe this, But in the middle of the night, it was like, I should just quit in the same group.
Did it have any good reasons for that, or it just...
I'm being told it was just such a fuck-up. Pardon my...
That wasn't even French.
Today I'm really breaking my mind.
This is getting crazy.
I call it my karma, but this is the karma I keep up and up against, because it wants me to be like separate and different from everybody else. I'm like, I'm a little child and everybody else is growing up. It's being so successful with this because, you know, when Tracy brought up the problem people, I mean, I would be lucky if I could reflect right now. I would be lucky. And so I feel like we're going to get in a little circle and then I'm just going to have to sit there.
You know, I'm not even going to say I rarely do this because I'm just going to risk taking some way back. And so... It would be a lot, actually. So I'm gonna offer you some straight Zen dope, okay? It's a bunch of crap. You have shown up more in this retreat than I have ever, ever, ever seen you show up.
And
the fact that it's killing you is one thing, or trying to kill you. I mean, it's obviously happened. You made it through the night, and you're talking. Okay? But the one thing that has to be made clear is that the content of it is a bunch of lies, because it's trying to say. It's trying to convince you that you are going along with a program that you used to go along with, that you are no longer going along with. So it's telling the same story, even though it's talking to a completely different person.
Right, right. And so, I mean, even in the middle of the night, I'm like, whoa, this is quite, you know, I should quit the sitting group,
How did we get there?
I mean, it's like, that's not believable, but it feels awful threatening in the middle of the night.
Yes, it does.
And because if I were really able to do this, I would be able to do it here.
Which you have.
Not very well.
Yes, actually, very well.
But you know, it's like what somebody else was saying in group. I mean, this is the thing I'm most committed to, and it's conditioned to take this away from me.
Yes. But the thing to realize is, it hasn't. You have been sitting right over there somewhere, more vulnerable, more open, more authentic than I have ever seen you in any workshop or retreat since I've known you. Yes.
And I mean, the reason it's so long, the reason is everything, because then here's the practice, but...
The reason is... It's losing its grip.
But I feel like it's fighting as hard as it can.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is.
If it would get me to quit this, it would have me for the rest of my life.
Oh, it would be like the rest of your ugly, pathetic, suffering-filled little life.
Successful with this. That's why I raised my hand. Because you know me, I do not want to attract attention to my internal process in the middle of... It's occasionally true, but I feel like if I didn't say something, I don't keep saying
and Marie, that is who you've been since you got here. You are a different person. It is time to get current. You're a grown-up. Okay? I'm sorry. To break the news. To be the one I have to tell you. That's an old, tired story.
Okay, so we get in a little group, and so I totally can't say anything.
Then you totally don't say anything. And everybody goes, wow, she totally didn't say anything. I know that place.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's who we all are, right? We are all the people who are willing, for whatever reason, whatever combination of great good fortune, to take this on.
But, you know, what I realize about this is this is the big story. So if I walk through this, then all this identity around this has to fall away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like my system. It's just like
karma.
Go to your hermitage and cry and be little.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you stories about your life that will prove that you are doing the right thing here.
You'll never be any different than how you were in your family.
That's right.
Yeah, you'll
be
fed everywhere forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not true, is it? Yeah. No. And there's no way karma conditioning is going to take facilitation away from you. It's not. You're not. You've crossed that line. There's no way you're going to get that up.
Thank you.
You know, there are a number of people in this room that I could say something similar to. I don't know if you know who you are. But people who are carrying a story of, you know, I can't really do this, I'm not that good at it. And then, you know, I watch you for days, day after day after day, doing a fine job. You know, at some point, you've got to choose practice over the voices of conditioning. Mm-hmm. If you shouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here. I don't have any qualms about that. Okay? Do I? You people will attest to that. If I say, no, they're not ready for this, then they're not here. Okay? So you're all ready for this, or you wouldn't be here. You're all qualified. Crazy.
No, I mean, there's something really touching about what Maria was saying, and it brought me back to a place where a couple of years ago, you asked me to stand up in front of some people and say something, and I said to you, you know, I don't know, because the last time I stood in front of people, like I was in fifth grade, and I forgot all my lines, and it was, you know, mortifying, and you said, and if that happens, just imagine what a group of loving, compassionate people that will be there to hold you. Mm-hmm. And that just seems to go with me everywhere I go. Like, regardless of whatever happens, I can just hold that place of love and compassion that it doesn't really matter. And so, then that's what's so beautiful about being here in this room. You know, like my willingness to take those risks, being held in this presence of what we've created is, I think, magic.
Yes. Everybody wants to be perfect. Everybody hates perfect people. Nobody wants to be vulnerable and sweet, and everybody loves vulnerable, sweet people. We should work out that equation.
Well, Maria is my new practice hero, totally, because I've been really slammed also, and I don't feel like I have had the courage to speak it out, you see. And so I'm just really, really in admiration of that courage. And so with that leadership, I'm standing up and saying, I'm being really slammed by conditioning, and just very similar kinds of things. You know, we need groups.
Hi, my name is Cameron. Hi,
my name is Sherry, and self-hate has me.
We just start up groups that way when it's just us.
Yeah, it's the same thing where the conditioning is to feel separate and to sit here and project the wonderfulness of all these folks, and
except for me.
And
I'm the only one.
And I'm not speaking up and divulging this because everybody keeps saying you're an old timer,
keeps pointing, you should be in the old-timer group, you should be, you know, either speaking up or not having this going on, one or the other, so okay, now I've spoken up.
Now, can people get, can you get it? That nobody's unique.
Yeah.
Okay? And you can't go back to your hermitage or your room or your car or wherever the hell it is that you go and listen to a voice say you're the only one who has this going on. It is so boring. You know, it's such a boring story. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I came up with a paradigm this year for myself that just, it started then, because that was, it was turning my attention to something, well, basically growing up, stepping into a place of taking responsibility for my experience and not, you know, hoping other people will sense what I need and such as that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really been, you know, it's amazing. Every time there is some kind of a corner turn, it just flares up all this energy and, you know, the fire comes out of its mouth and it starts trying to terrify me back into, or, you know, just being back into a corner of fear and victimization. And so it kind of was, you know, nibbling at my feet and, you know, and then coming
on your heels.
Yes, exactly. And then coming here, it's just like, you know, it just, well, and the retreat started off with a few things happening, you know, like I just went blank, and then the reaction made me feel, you know, kicked in the conditioning of separation, and then that just sort of, you know, started the ball really rolling.
So, can people see why we are eager for you to go out and put yourself in these positions over and over and over and over? Because what conditioning wants us to do is be in relationship with it, make a little foray out beyond it, get totally blasted, crawl back to our relationship. Okay, whack-a-mole. Take your head out and
whack-a-mole.
It's a Mexican form. So we have to put ourselves in these positions over and over and over and over until it just becomes like a joke. Yeah, right. Yeah. Gosh, where have I heard that before?
Yeah.
And I think it's critical that you get it when it is, I don't know another way to say it. You know, everybody's got the same story going on. How people can continue to believe that they're the only ones. I mean, we're sitting in a room of, what, 25 people. Each person conditioning trying to convince them that they're the only one having the experience that everybody else is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that experience that you just modeled with your hands is so it. I mean, it feels like, you know, there's movement into expansion and, you know, the new experiences of being connected and feeling a participant and feeling belonging, and then there goes the sledgehammer, yeah. Whack. Yeah. Yeah.
We just, I'm telling you,
yeah.
Just after you, not we, this is not a we moment. You,
yeah.
You all, I stopped, you have to stop.
Yeah.
Okay, it is possible to stop that. It is possible not to believe that, not to have that experience, never entertain those voices, not go there. You must do that. If nothing is ever going to change.
Right.
You know, it's like standing out there in the garden with a shovel in your hand, going, you know,
I get those weeds.
Well, it's paralyzed.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's such a big job. I mean, how am I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, what if I make a mistake? What if I get it wrong? I mean, what if I, for God's sake, you've got the shovel. There's the garden. You know what to do. Do it.
Absolutely.
The world is depending upon you. Truly. I mean, other people besides us are starting to say, you know, that we have the practice the world needs. Somebody's got to live it. Thank you all. Yes, DeBoy.
Couple things. First of all, it's just that brought up. I just got a letter from a friend who told me that she was starting a garden and starting to try to live more simply, as a lot of people she knows facing what's happening in the world. And then in the letter she goes, the monastery is a model for the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow. You know, I've been hearing that here, and I, you know, just to have that come from the outside, unasked for, was just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then this has been the best retreat. I have just enjoyed this so much and gotten so much from it. And a lot of it is people sharing and seeing that we're in all the same.
They're all the same. Exactly the same.
And it's just like,
as was the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of us. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. It's just, wow. It just takes the chains off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just really exciting. And makes me, you know, just gives me so much fuel and excitement and energy to want to contribute instead of standing there with a shovel thing.
Yeah, Cameron was pointing out, and Marie too, you know, going to that child place and letting something so rotten paralyze you and keep you from, or attempt to keep you from making the contribution that you can make, and that so much is depending on making.
Know that place. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm entirely grateful to be here.
Yeah.
Like what we're talking about is, you know, training on a real, kind of on the most basic level. That sure has been my experience of it. Ever since, you know, I came here, I had no idea what it was about. And one way of talking about the way what it's about, it seems like is what we're talking about now, where it's saying yes, stepping up to the possibility that's there for you, and then running right into everything that you've been trying to avoid all the time. And then the anger, or the, you know, I'm out of here, or just the awfulness of conditioning sort of being revealed, this is what the easiest way to say it. Suddenly, instead of being back here, conditioning being pushed out here. And just the awfulness as it resists it and fights it and gets angry.
Right, the light.
Oh, it just and it just gets awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let that go, and you breathe once, and then the next thing, you know, it's just right there, and it's just over and over and over and over and over again. And facilitation is the biggest one by far,
mm-hmm.
or have been for me to bring that up, because I think, as people have been saying, especially greed, it was the thing that the most challenges our limited self-conceptions, because we have the biggest possibility of finding out who we are now. Because that's when you're sitting on the cushion, you know, there's those times when it just, all that just disappears, and you are who you are, and it's just, there's no self-consciousness, it's just moving, you're responding, it's like life and you are one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it seems like it's a potential we have. And so it's just, you know, the condition that reacts to that is just so much. and it feels like that's what the training is. Mm-hmm. And it goes on, you know, it's in my case it has. It goes on. That same thing is happening continually. But that's what we have to do is insight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And less and less. Mm-hmm. I mean, there will be a piece of karma there, and it builds, and then you let it go.
Yeah.
And then there's the next thing that's there, and it builds, and you see through it, and you let it go.
Mm-hmm. It seems like two things are happening. I'm actually reading, I'm talking about in heaven, this experience I'm talking about a little bit this morning, and sitting here and letting it go. You know, so it's a lot quicker. Then I mean, the ability to say, no, thank you, bring the attention back here, keep the attention here where I am. I mean, that's a skill we're all practicing all the time. Meditation has obviously increased enormously. So that's one thing. And the other thing it seems like happens is the stuff that we are asked to develop gets bigger and bigger. So there's this, I've complained about this, and you'll say there's this illusion that I'm not getting anywhere. Because it's like this.
In fact, all is going backwards sometimes.
But the experience inside of it feels like it's the same. Awfulness of conditioning being ripped from its control in my life. Mm-hmm. But then if you actually step back and look, you see, well, it used to be over, you know, you burn the granola and then suffer for 8 weeks. You now, of course, are many times larger than that. And the person I am in that is many times larger than that. So, you know, I can see that stepping back. And so, anyway, it's more of a joke, but it's a little complaint that it's, you know, it's always kind of seems like the same thing is going on.
Yeah, well, and I think the last thing you said is really important for us to realize, which is when that's my purgatory about just get over yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if everybody in this room is facing very big karmic issues, mm-hmm. Because you're not devoting your lives to indulging and distracting yourself, that sort of thing that's so very popular. Mm-hmm. So to step back periodically and do that little reminder, you know, a la the best year yet, let's start with the accomplishments here. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that I can now do that would have just undone me a very short time ago, and that now I can see the possibility in, and that even though I'm maybe a little, I'm excited about doing it, and I want to take on the challenge and that sort of thing. Just a little reality check so that we don't fall into indulging those voices of nothing ever changes, and you know, and I imagine the other thing that everybody has in common is moving into that child place. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So that's where conditioning takes the person. And so just realizing that even within that, there's so much more ability to take care of that small person. There's so much less identification with the small person.
Yeah.
You know, there's no longer a belief that that little person is who I am.
Yeah, it's so true. And from that step back place, there is the ability to hear up, and then with that comes all the things that we really want. You know, gratitude, even for all that has been. You know, all of the angst and the struggle and the horrible, just nightmares in the middle of the night and all of it, because that's how we've gotten where we've gotten.
And that's how we can be helpful. Mm-hmm. That's that place again of. You know, I know what Marie is talking about, being in that place in the middle of the night and having conditioning just come up and, you know, move you into a completely different reality and conditioning that white is black, and because I've done it so many times, just so many times over so much karma. And so when we do that, then we can really be with somebody when they're going through that and know exactly where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And probably the most challenging thing for me about getting out of, you know, getting into that big picture is the understanding that the benefit that's coming is not for me. You know, because if you look at it from that point, you can't see any. You know, it's like this thing, you know, forever, you know, I'll go home at night to my hermitage, and he's saying, I don't want to waste a day. And what it means is, I didn't get anything from it. Yeah. Nobody said I did a good job. I didn't get any special treats. But that's the fact, you know, to get that, well, that's not what it's all about. And the energy that comes to life, and it just happens to be the life that comes to this form also. To see that, oh, I can see, oh my gosh, look what has happened for me.
Yeah.
But I have to be willing to let go of the me who I started off being and who was still kind of hanging on there, in order to be willing to be the me who is actually not really me, but it's just the light that's living inside of me.
From the little I to I. Yeah. I had a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Little
I
hardly interfered at all.
One of my favorite things, but I was a brand new monk, and Tony was here when I was here, and he used to say, that was a good practice day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that, because that includes all of it. No matter how bad it was, you know, it was a good practice day. I really stood up for myself today.
Uh-huh.
And,
I saw a lot today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot happened today, and I was there for it.